welcome back again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Brothers and sisters, thank you for joining in today, and I'm so glad that you're minding the Lord and getting in His Word and honoring Him. Don't be deceived, not one bit. When you get in God's Word, you do honor Him, and the Lord notices when you study His Word. Don't let the devil or anybody else lie to you that you're wasting your time, because you're not. And you know that because of how hard it is for you to stay in His Word. Everything in existence tries to fight you and to get you away from God's Word, and you know that. So that shows us that what is important and what is not important. And we get in God's Word, we're minding Him. The Bible says for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we get in there and study God's Word. God is well pleased with that. And we want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Thank you for joining today. And even if it's not within this study or this realm of study that we're doing here with me and with the rest of us, then at least studying somewhere, but in that book, studying God's Word. And when I say in the book, I'm talking about King James Bible. Okay? We're talking about sanctification, and we've been several studies, two or three into this already, and just to recap a little bit, I think what we're going to do is try to pull off an introduction to our second kind of sanctification, the sanctification of man, within this study right here, what we're fixing to talk about. But to recap just a little bit, we talked about kinds of sanctification and introduced them, and we have just recently been over the descriptions of sanctification of the Lord. And we found out how important the Bible teaches us about sanctification of the Lord and how important that is to Him Himself. Sanctification of the Lord is something that the Lord takes very seriously, and He teaches others and teaches us even that this is a matter to be taken seriously, is to sanctify the Lord. Sanctification of the Lord. We had four different descriptions, if you remember, concerning that, and we went over them and went over all quite a bit of scripture having to do with that. And today we're going to go into sanctification of man. Sanctification of man. Now, in this verse of scripture, and I usually started out in this study reading it, let's just go ahead and read it and remind ourselves of it, because this is a good description, a foundation of sanctification concerning the scriptures and what the Lord's talking about when He's talking about the sanctification of man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is God's will. This is what Paul said that is God's will, and something that he was praying for us and wishing for us and wanting for us is that we be sanctified completely and utterly. All parts of us. Man is three parts, just like God is. He's spirit, soul, and body. And Paul was saying that every part of us be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Now, in this verse of Scripture at the beginning of this study, the ones that I just read and have read in every study that we've had so far to begin with, the 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul's blessing the church of the Thessalonians, and he says he wishes them to be sanctified wholly, as in entirely or completely or perfectly, and totally in all their parts. Then he proceeds to name the parts he's referring to as the spirit, the soul, and the body of the believer. Then he goes one other step and describes what he means by the parts being sanctified wholly, to be preserved blameless. to be preserved blameless. That is, saved from injury, destruction, or decay, kept and defended without fault, innocent and guiltless, not meriting censure. Now, this is what brings us to a division between sanctification of the Lord and sanctification of man. I mentioned to you in sanctification of the Lord, when we was talking about that part of sanctification, and what the Bible teaches us about that, is that God does not need to be cleaned up in any way. He's perfectly holy. And his sanctification and description of sanctification of the Lord comes from a completely different avenue and truth than it does for man. This is how sanctification differs between man and God. God does not need to be saved from injury or destruction or decay. He already is without fault. No one can censure God. He's perfectly holy. It is man that needs his spirit, soul, and body preserved blameless. You see that? You getting that? God is different than man. God does not need to be saved from injury or destruction or decay. God's not going to decay. He's perfect. He's eternal. God doesn't need improvement. He's perfect. He's holy. It is man that needs his spirit and his soul and his body preserved blameless. Now, this is what I read earlier about being a very important part of your salvation that took place and is taking place and will be completed at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three different types of, or three different, how are we going to put that? Three different areas of sanctification. From the time you got saved to the time you see the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to get us, when our sanctification is completed and matured. When you got born again, your sanctification began. God the Holy Ghost moved in you and he saved your soul and he quickened your spirit and he sanctified you from going to hell. He sanctified you and made you legally able and on your way to heaven. He sanctified that part of you. Now, he saved you from the penalty of sin by sanctifying you in that way, legally, so that God is at peace with you and you're at peace with the Lord. Now, it's time for you to grow, but you are not perfect yet. You still are carrying around a corrupt body that's dying and is sinful. So you have to be sanctified from the power of sin. You have to be saved from the power of sin. This is part of the sanctification that we're talking about. This is what we was reading earlier whenever I was talking to you about this being a very important part of your salvation. You are now, presently, as we speak, being saved from the power of sin. And sanctified from the power of sin, taught how to leave sin alone and how to submit yourself, therefore, to God and resist the devil. And sanctification is actively working in your life right now. Well, sanctification is going to be completely and utterly fulfilled and completed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us out of here and changes this vile body into a body likened unto his perfect body and gives us the mind of Christ and we'll be no longer bothered by sin at all because it'll be completely out of our being. You see, we'll be completely sanctified then. You see how that thing works and how it did work at your salvation, how it is working right now, and how it will work whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes. So this is a very important part of your salvation that took place and is taking place and will be completed at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's already happened, it is happening, and it will happen. You see how that makes such good sense having to do with man. But when it comes to the sanctification of God, God doesn't need and didn't need any cleaning up or sanctifying in the beginning. God's from everlasting to everlasting. He didn't start. God does not need any cleaning up now. He remains perfect and holy. And God does not need to be matured, sanctified in the future. God remains the same. I am the Lord. I change not. God is always sanctified. But he will, but when it comes to sanctification of the Lord, it has to do with the way the Lord will be sanctified as far as his being, as far as respecting him as an eternal being, and how you can approach him, and how everything outside of God has to be sanctified in order to come near him and approach him and around him and to communicate with him and so on and so forth. But when it comes to man, it's a completely different thing because we are evil. We're evil. And we need to be sanctified. And the Lord knew that when the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for us. And he put these things in place for us. And that's what we're going to study now. Okay, now it's already happened. It's happening and will happen. The Holy Ghost has cleaned you up, is cleaning you up, and will finish cleaning you up. Now, this is something that man has never been able to do for himself. If it wasn't for the Lord and it wasn't for God the Holy Ghost indwelling us and the provisions that God has made and put us and set in order for us as his children and being adopted into his family as sons of God, if it wasn't for the Lord doing these things, we'd be doomed. We'd self-destruct. And you know that and I know that. And the Bible teaches us that. Okay? But this is something that man has never been able to do for himself. And Paul, that's why Paul said, he said it. He said, the very God of peace that does this. The very God of peace that does this, he said. Okay, so what we want to do now is look at a couple descriptions of this matter of sanctification of man. A couple descriptions like we looked at the descriptions of sanctification of the Lord. Just look at some of the facts concerning it and look at the scriptures and let the scriptures teach us what it's talking about when it comes to sanctification of man. And then we'll get into our study a little further from then on. The first description is in a general sense. It means to cleanse, to purify, to make holy, to make pure or free from sin or guilt, to bless, to consecrate, to hallow, to purge, to purify. Do those sound like some things that man does need? Absolutely it does. When it comes to sanctification, man can't do them things for himself. He can't make himself holy. He can't purify himself. He can't cleanse himself. He can't make himself pure or free from sin or guilt. We can't do that. We need God to do that for us and to sanctify us and to help us stay sanctified and to sanctify us in the future and change us completely from everlasting to everlasting and so on and so forth. So the scriptures that go along with this description, let's read some of them. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5, and he said, peaceably. This is Samuel whenever he was coming into town, and they asked him why he came to town, if he came to town, if he came to town because there was trouble or if he came to town because there's peace. And they were asking him, and he answered them. He said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. You see, men needing to be cleaned up and prepared. Now, that was some that we've already studied having to do with sanctification of the Lord. But this is particularly having to do with the fellows that are coming to the sacrifice that Samuel was inviting, because this is when he was going, God instructed him to go choose David to be king and to pick him out from the sons of Jesse. And Samuel was obeying the Lord, and he was going here, but this was preparation. He said, I've come peaceably, and I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. They didn't know what was going on, but he told them, prepare and come to the sacrifice. Okay, another one. 1 Samuel 21, chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. And the priest answered David and said, this is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. There were certain qualifications of being able to eat this bread. This was bread that was offered in the holy place that had to do with the Lord, and it was sanctified unto the Lord, and David was trying to get something to eat for him and his men, and this priest told him that the only thing he had was this bread here. He said, but it's hallowed bread, and he said the young men have to have had at least kept themselves from women. And David answered the priest and said unto them, of a truth, women have been kept from us about 3 days, since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So, again, David asked for this bread. It has to be, there has to be conditions in order for it to be able to be, for David to have it. And they met the conditions, okay? Talking about in a general sense, to cleanse, to purify, and we're talking about sanctification of man. This is not sanctification of the Lord. This is sanctification of man. So keep that in mind as we're reading these scriptures. And I know we're going over these Old Testament scriptures, and these are the prerequisites of sanctification of the Lord that the Lord required. But keep in mind that we're talking about men now. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 3 and verse 15, 17, and 24. Let me read those to you. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the month, of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord, for there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers, for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For Hezekiah king of Judah did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. You see, man needing to get himself in a sanctified condition in order to serve the Lord and in order to be right before the Lord. Man's responsibility of having to do this. Now there is sanctification where God does things for man, but now we're seeing to where it's man's responsibility to take care of these matters to make sure that they are right and proper before the Lord and the requirements of sanctification. Okay, moving along. Now, it's going to make more sense as we keep going, and the scriptures will teach us what the truth is themselves. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 says, besides their genealogy of males, from 3 years old and upward, even unto every one that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service and their charges according to their courses. All right, in Job chapter 1 and verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. It's talking about Job's children. Job got up and he didn't know anything about his children sinning or anything about any active sins that his children were sinning against God. But Job thought it necessary to provide sanctification, to provide sacrifices in case they had cursed God. Listen to what the verse said. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone, talking about the children, his children, and how they were all getting together and feasting and everything, were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, talking about his children, his sons and his daughters. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You see, Job knew what was wrong with him and wrong with his children, having to do with the fact of him being a sinner and for his children being sinners. And he knew what was the possibilities were and how men sin. And he, on purpose, provided sacrifices or offered burnt offerings for his children in case they had done something and cursed God in their hearts or done something like that. You see that? Job knew, and he was preparing for that. He was preparing for their purification or for their so that they would be free from sin and guilt and making sure that God was not offended at them. All right. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 19. You see, what we're talking about is the scriptures are bringing in man's responsibility and man's side of this sanctification. And it's gradually coming in. Just keep listening to the scriptures. And when they go forth into the utter court, even into the utter court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. In other words, there were certain garments that needed to be worn in order for them to deal with God's dealings for the people, and if they were wearing their own clothes, no go. It wasn't possible for the things to be done in God's name and sanctification to be done for the people in their own clothes. They had to have their own clothes. They had to have the clothes that they ministered in, the garments where they ministered. All right, Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 20. Then said he unto me, this is the place where the priests shall boil the trespass offering and the sin offering, where they shall bake the meat offering, that they bear them not out into the utter court to sanctify the people. To sanctify the people. All right, notice talking about the people and how the people are going to be sanctified now and how what it takes to sanctify the people, because the people are sinful and they need sanctifying, and the necessities that are required that God has set in place in order for men to be sanctified. All right, Romans. Now we're getting into the New Testament. Here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, man is responsible. This is where the practical part of sanctification is starting to come into our study. All right, talking about, now we know that the Lord is 100% involved in our sanctification, that the Lord has sanctification of his own, that no man has anything to do with. But when it comes to man being sanctified before the Lord, we know that the Lord is completely and utterly involved in helping us with that. And we couldn't be sanctified any other way. But we see that man's responsibility has to come into play now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, instead of going and offering animals and offering all the Old Testament stuff, this is New Testament sacrifice. Listen to this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You don't have to take it to the altar and kill it and cut it in certain ways and burn part of it and burn part of it outside the camp and wash part of it and the priests do all this, that, and the other. This is New Testament now. All right, I beseech you, talking about sanctification. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see how man's responsibility is starting to be brought into this matter of sanctification? He's talking about the body there. He said the body. Present your body. Remember what Paul said in that verse, that your whole soul, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a description of the Lord's will having to do with the New Testament Christian, having to do with sanctification and the practicality, the practicing of sanctification and what God expects from us. What God expects from us. We don't have to go down to the altar and sacrifice animals anymore. We have a sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's done that for us. All that is over with. Now what do? We are responsible for presenting ourselves to be sanctified and holy before the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, talking as saved, born again children of God, by the mercies of God, that God has already made the provisions for us to be able to do this through the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye present yourselves. Instead of bringing an ox or a lamb or something like that and presenting it to the priests, you bring yourself. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see how the sanctification thing has changed now? It doesn't have to go to the altar anymore. It doesn't have to go to the priest anymore. We have a high priest now. He's up in heaven with the Lord, the Son of God. He's our high priest. But now what is our responsibility having to do with these bodies that we live in and the sanctification? With sanctification. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, listen to what he says again. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he just got through telling us in Romans. He said, while you're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to get here, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're living in that body. Present that body a living sacrifice. Not only a living sacrifice, but a holy living sacrifice, and one that is acceptable to God. And this is your reasonable service to the Lord, since you're saved and a son of God and in the family of God and adopted now. And it's your reasonable service and your responsibility. You see that? Sanctification. In a practical manner, that we practice sanctification. You see that? And be not conformed to this world. How do we present our bodies a living sacrifice and holy and acceptable to God? By not being conformed to this world. And also being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We change our thinking, just like we're doing right now. We're studying God's Word and putting God's Word in, and God's Word's pushing out all the bad stuff. You see that? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge, there's that practical sanctification, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work, to cleanse from corruption, to purify from sin, to make holy. You see that matter? You see that thing? All right, that was the first description. In a general sense, it means to cleanse. In other words, but who does the cleansing? Well, the Lord has done the cleansing. He's saved us. He is keeping, he's actively, God the Holy Ghost, working within us. But the cleansing becomes a practical sanctification to where we have to become involved in it now and sanctify ourselves. You see that thing? In a general sense, it means to cleanse, to purify, and to make holy. To make pure and free from sin and guilt. To bless, to consecrate, to hallow, to purge, to purify. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you now. Your body is the temple now of the Holy Ghost, not the temple in Jerusalem, not the Old Testament temple. Your temple is your body now. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you. And it's consecrated, it's hallowed, and it needs to be your whole spirit, soul, and body needs to be purged from sin and guilt and purified. You see that thing? You see that thing? All right, that's the first description. Now, here's the second description having to do with the sanctification of man. It means to cleanse from corruption. Now, we touched that just a little bit just a second ago. To cleanse from corruption, to purify from sin. To make holy by detaching the affections from the world and its defilements and exalting them to a supreme love for God. The act of making holy, in an evangelical sense, the act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified and alienated from sin and the world and exalted to a supreme love for God. In other words, we exchange, now that God has saved us, God the Holy Ghost indwells us, we have the Word of God and we have the power of God within us to help our spirits, to help our souls, and to help us keep our body clean. And pure. Now here's some scriptures concerning this description of the sanctification of man. Of the sanctification of man. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Did you get that? Sanctify what? Yourselves? Who's responsible for the efforts of that? Yourselves are. We sanctify ourselves. You see that? Now, of course, the Lord is the one that helps us and to do that, but we are the one that puts the effort in order for it to be accomplished. And a lot of Christians are not doing that. They're out there playing around in the world and just dead up in the world and as nasty and filthy as the world is. And that's not God's will. That's not proper sanctification. God's will is for us to be sanctified, even though we are still in these wicked bodies. and to sanctify our spirits. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And our souls be sanctified, that our minds and our hearts and our thoughts and all these things be sanctified and purified. And the Bible says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You see that thing? You see that thing? All right. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, that's, of course, under the Old Testament that the Lord was talking about. But the gist of the verse is that sanctification is also a responsibility of the individual. And that falls into the New Testament, especially into the New Testament, since God the Holy Ghost indwells us now, and we don't have to go to the temple like the Jews used to have to do. All right, now let's read on. Leviticus chapter 20. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. The Lord sanctifies us as, but in the New Testament, this is the Old Testament that we're reading, yes, but you can see how important it was for the Lord to instruct, that the Lord was instructing the individuals that they are responsible to keep this matter clean between them and the Lord. But they had to go to the temple, and they had sacrifices, and they had things like this. In the New Testament, we don't have to do that. We have one sacrifice, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our responsibility is to mind God the Holy Ghost that lives in us, read the Word of God, and follow the instructions, and conform ourselves into the image of Christ with the Lord's help. Leviticus 21, neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, the Lord, do sanctify him. Joshua says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua chapter 7 says, up, sanctify the people, and sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. And we remember that story of Achan that was involved in this matter. Thou canst not stand before the enemy until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. You see, but the Lord was putting a responsibility on the individuals, even in the Old Testament, before the law, to be sanctified. To be sanctified and to sanctify yourselves. It's much, much easier for us to do it in the New Testament because we have forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness immediately. You can be right with the Lord any old second of the day, and you can stay right with him. But it's your responsibility to sanctify yourself, and it falls on the Christian. And a lot of Christians don't take that seriously. And that's why they are in the muck, out in the muck, drowning in the muck, back in the hog pen. And that's why the Lord has to whip you and discipline you and chasten you and all these sorts of things. Because your family now, you're not the heathen. Okay, Matthew chapter 23, listen to this. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? You see, sanctification. John chapter 17, listen what the Lord says. And now come I unto thee. This is the Lord praying to his heavenly Father before he went to the cross, and he's praying for us. He said, now come I unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. We have it right here. We're studying it. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see that? That's why we use so much of God's word. Because God's word cleanses you. It sanctifies you. It's doing in our very present time that we're talking right now. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We get cleaned up through the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, you're obeying the Lord right now by studying his word, listening to his word, hearing his word, and his word is purging you and sanctifying you and cleansing you, whether you know it or not. That's how important it is to be in God's word every day. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see that thing? Hebrews chapter 13, we're talking about the sanctification of man and the responsibility and how this thing is changing. God doesn't need cleaning up. Man needs cleaning up. And the Lord has done the overall cleaning for us. We are saved. We are on our way to heaven. We are not damned. We are not condemned anymore. The wrath of God has been lifted off of us. We are loved, and we are accepted in the beloved, and we're on our way to heaven. But while we're in this body, and while we still are in this evil, wicked body, this body that's evil, we have to be sanctified, and we have to do it on purpose. And a lot of people don't take that very seriously. And they suffer because of it. They suffer because of it. And if you do take it seriously, you're going to suffer because of it. But you're going to suffer for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons. Big difference. Big difference. The Lord is pleased with those that suffer for the right reasons. You keep yourself from sin. You sanctify yourself. You stay in the Word. You honor the Lord. You sanctify the Lord in your lives and in your heart and in your mind. And you honor the Lord. You're going to suffer for it. But you're going to suffer for the right reasons. And you know that. You know that. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You see, Jesus' blood cleanses us and has cleansed us and is cleansing us and will cleanse us. Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You see that sanctification working in there? You see how God the Holy Ghost is working in that matter? You see how believing the truth, and what is believing the truth? The Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, who dwells in you now, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You see how that thing changed? You see in the Old Testament how sanctification worked under the law and before the law, and how God required, the Lord made it personal. I mean, sanctification is a matter of the individual. I mean, you are involved in your sanctification. But as far as sanctification of the Lord, completely different thing than sanctification of man, because God is holy. He don't need no sanctification as far as man's sanctifying. But when it comes to the sanctification of man, you see how God is working in it, how he has worked in it, how he is working in it, and how he is going to finish it. But in the meantime, in a general sense, the first description, to cleanse, purify, to make holy, to make pure, to make pure and free from sin and guilt, and to bless and to consecrate, to hallow, to purge, to purify. And the second description, we talked about to cleanse from corruption. Now we're getting a little bit more personal. A little more personal. It's coming into our own responsibility to purify from sin. The Lord's already cleansed us. We're clean before him. But in this body, we still have to keep ourselves from sin, don't we? Sure we do. To make holy by detaching the affections from the world and its defilements. You know, if you don't detach yourself on purpose, you will become attached to the world and its defilements, won't you? It'll drag you in. It'll drag you in. You have to get away from it on purpose, or it'll drag you in and eat you alive. It will. And exalting them to a supreme love for God, our affections. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You see that thing? And making things holy from the world and its defilements, and exalting them to a supreme love of God, the act of making holy. In an evangelical sense, the act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified and alienated from sin and the world and exalted to a supreme love for God. That's what we are supposed to be doing. We are involved in our sanctification. The sanctification of man is something that God is right up in the middle of, taking care of for us and helping us with. But now it becomes a practical thing. We have to practice it. Not to be saved and not for any reason like that. But because you are saved and because you belong to God. And because you're a son of God, you are to be sanctified. You are to sanctify yourself unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ until he gets here and perfects us. Well, we don't have to fight this fight no more. But as long as there's sin in your body and you're in that body, you're going to have to fight. And if you don't fight, sin's going to get you. That's just it. That's the way it is. Now, what have we learned so far? All right, let's break this thing down and just see what we've learned so far. When having to do with the Lord, sanctification is a serious matter to the Lord, even though he himself does not require any cleaning up whatsoever. The Lord is holy and perfect in every way and remains that way. He does not and will not compromise his holiness for anyone or anything. Nor will he allow anyone or anything to improperly breach or disregard it. Things and creatures must be sanctified in his presence. When his holiness and integrity are trespassed, his perfect justice both requires and is swift to avenge. You don't just treat God any old way you want to. We've learned that. All right, what else? Well, the Lord's mercy and compassion make provisions and preparations and warnings are always put out concerning how dangerous it is to be passive concerning him. He is God. He must be sanctified before all. We've learned that. Remember, we got to be careful. Be very careful when you're dealing with the Lord. Now, another thing, when having to do with man, sanctification works differently. We've learned that. It works differently than the Lord. Man has three parts, spirit, soul, and body. All three have to be sanctified before they can be in God's presence. When a man is born of a woman, his spirit is dead. his soul is lost, and he's under the wrath of God because of his Adamic nature. He is sinful. His body is sinful and also condemned back to the dust where it goes eventually when it dies. All three must be sanctified. We've learned that. All right, what else? Well, man's spirit is sanctified when it is regenerated. And his new birth, when he believes and trusts in Christ, in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Man's spirit is sanctified at that time. His spirit is quickened, it's made alive, and God the Holy Ghost enters a man at his new birth and indwells him. All right, what else? Well, man's soul is sanctified when he is born again and attached to his spirit and set apart, sanctified, into God's family, eternally saved. As far as God is concerned, the saved soul and spirit are righteous before him because of Christ's righteousness that has been applied on him. That's called imputation. At a man's new birth, his soul is cut away from his body. That's called spiritual circumcision. It's found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 and 10 through 14. That's what spiritual circumcision is. Your soul is cut away from your body, and it is attached to your spirit that has been quickened, even though he still resides in it until death or the rapture. We still reside in this body, but your soul is cut away from your body now. It's not attached to your body. All right? His soul is the soul is no longer attached to his body. His soul is saved and sanctified in Christ and on its way to heaven. You see that difference? The Lord didn't take our souls, and whenever we were saved, our soul become attached to our quickened spirit that has been made alive again, and it has been circumcised away and separated from our body, even though we still dwell in our bodies. But our body is still sinful. All right? What else have we learned? Man's body is not saved or sanctified. Man's spirit is sanctified. Man's soul is sanctified if you've been born again. Man's body is not sanctified, saved, or sanctified. It is wicked to the core. It's considered by God to be dead in trespasses and sin and is headed back to the dust. A man still has to live in the body until either it dies, the body, or he departs in, and he departs from it, or Jesus shows up at the rapture to get the church, and at that time, the body will be changed into a sanctified body, fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body, perfect in every way. You see how that makes so much sense? And God's Word is so perfect. And that's the breakdown of what a man is, what's sanctified in him, what is not sanctified in him, responsibilities coming into this play of man's sanctification, the sanctification of man. So we've learned these things, all right? So part of you is sanctified completely and utterly and doesn't need sanctifying anymore. Your soul and your spirit are sanctified, and they are righteous before God because of Christ Jesus and what the Lord's righteousness has been placed upon us, all right? But your body is still wicked. It is not sanctified in not one speck. It will go get back in the mud hole any old time. Now, all this might seem just a little bit overwhelming, but it's really not. It's really not. Sanctification for a man after he is born again is all that it needs to be at that time. Then, while still in the body, it, that is sanctification, becomes a process in which the man participates himself in helping the Holy Ghost to clean himself up. Sanctification is finalized for a man when he is in the new body and, like Christ, wholly sanctified. Remember our verse? Holy, spirit, soul, and body. wholly sacrificed or wholly sanctified, which has not happened yet. It's not happened yet. But that's what Paul said, that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. You see that? And until the Lord comes, until he changes that body, you're not going to be wholly sanctified until then. But until then, we work and we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do for what God's done for you already and is doing for you and is going to do for you. Amen? That's good stuff, ain't it? Okay, well, that's the breakdown of the description of the sanctification of man. The descriptions we went over, and we have rehearsed what we have learned already, and that's some good stuff, isn't it? That's some good stuff. It's very simple, it's very understandable, and it makes perfect sense according to the Scriptures. And it lines right up with what's going on with us spiritually, with our soul, and with our bodies. Why we have so much trouble in this stinking body. In this stinking body. You've got to be actively sanctifying. Sanctifying. Because if you don't, dirt's going to get in. You're going to be heading back and trying to sniff out a hog pen. You see that thing? You see that thing? Okay. Well, we're going to stop right there. And then we're going to get into doing some studies like what our other ABCs of Christian growth studies are having to do with the sanctification matter. And we're going to go over some topics. We've talked about nothing but description. Description of sanctification of the Lord and description of sanctification of man. We understand that now. Now we're going to study. Now we're going to talk about how sanctification is produced. How sanctification is produced and why sanctification or godliness is important. And sanctification and the holiness of Christians. The holiness of Christians, and we're going to talk about sanctification as far as being separated, being called, and being chosen for specific things, specific appointments, and things like that, and what the Scriptures have to say about that. Amen? All right, well, we're going to stop right there. That's some good stuff, isn't it? Don't you like that? That's some good stuff. I get excited. I love what the Lord's doing for me. I love who the Lord's making me because I can't stand myself sometimes. I'm man living in this body, and this body is just sinful, and it's always trying to get me to do things and trying to all the wicked stuff that your body wants to try to tempt you with, and your eyes and your ears and your hands and your feet and all that stuff. It's true. It's true, absolutely true. And when you read God's Word and you understand the breakdown of it, the spirit, the soul, and the body, and the conditions of all three since you've been saved, it makes it very plain and very understandable. And you're either going to do something about it or you're not going to do something about it. And if you're not going to do something about it, you're going to suffer. And if you are going to, you're going to suffer for the wrong reasons, and you're going to be sorry for it because that's not, you're a child of God now. You can't live that way. You just can't. You love God. And if you're not saved, you're in a whole bunch more trouble than what we're talking about. Sanctification is the farthest thing from anything you need to be concerned about. You need to be saved. Because you're walking on thin ice. If you lose your breath, you're done, man. Done forever. God takes your breath away, you're done. Somebody runs a stop sign, you're done. You better get saved and get in the family of God. Now, all these troubles we're talking about having to do with sanctification had to do with being in the family of God and the responsibilities of Christians. Got nothing to do with an unsaved man, a wicked man. The wrath of God abides on wicked men. He has plans for them. It's already set. But his long-suffering and his mercy allow them to live and keep living that they might get saved. And that's how we come in. Try to help the Lord out. Get some more people saved. You see that thing? Amen. Well, we're going to stop right there. I'm going to give you these verses. Are you ready? Let me give you these verses. The sanctification of man. Here's the first one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. You're going to have that memorized time we're done, aren't you? 1 Samuel chapter 16, 5. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 15 and 34. 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verse 3, verse 15, verse 17, and verse 24. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, verse 18. Job, chapter 1, verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 20. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Now, those verses I just give to you are under sanctification of man. The first description that we talked about, okay? And here are the verses for the second description of sanctification having to do with man. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 15. These things tell us the Lord's showing that that we ourselves are to be responsible for sanctifying ourselves. Even before the law, the Lord made people responsible for their own sanctification, even though they couldn't do it the way that Christ done for us and has done for us. We're pretty fortunate living in this age. The next verse is Joshua chapter 7, verse 13. I don't know if I gave you Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. I was running my trap, but that one also. Matthew chapter 23, verse 17 and 19. John chapter 17, verse 13 through 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And the last one for today is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And then we went over the things that we've learned so far about the body, the soul, the spirit, what is sanctified, what is not sanctified, why, and all those sorts of stuff. And that's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, God bless you and thank you so much for serving the Lord and studying. Don't underestimate studying God's Word, and don't let anybody ever talk you or take your Bible away from you or try to talk you away from your Bible or try to discourage you away from the Word of God. Don't even listen to it. Put it away. Don't even listen to it. The most important thing in your life is staying close to that book. Staying close to God's Word and hearing His words and being taught and under the teaching of God's Word. That's how we stay sanctified. That's how we stay. And this world is waxing filthier and filthier and filthier by the moment. This is 2024, and if you don't believe what I'm talking about, and I know you do believe what I'm talking about, but it's 2024, ain't nothing like 1960. It's changed. And as far as sanctification goes, Christians need to be especially on their guard having to do with, don't let anybody tell you any different. God instructs us, commands us, gives us permission and everything else to be separated from the world and all its filth. And you should be. Because you cannot be sanctified. That body, man, that body wants to lick that nasty mess up out there, and you've got to stay away from that mess on purpose. God bless you. I love you with Christ's love. We'll get back into our study, and we will talk about how sanctification is produced. And most of the rest of this study is going to not be talking about the sanctification of the Lord or the other things that we've talked about. It's going to be talking about just sanctification having to do with Christians, the bride of Christ, and how it's produced, and how it goes, how it comes about, and what the Bible says about all that. So we'll get into that. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Have a wonderful evening or morning or whatever it is you're having, and thank you for studying God's Word. I appreciate, admire, and respect you. This is Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.